Acts chapter 13. I'll read just a couple of verses with you here. Verse 1 says this: Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and then he's going to name these fellows: Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manane, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So he lists these guys that were in the church and they were serving. Verse 2: As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, church, I want to just point out some things tonight. You know, as far as missionary work today, I think if we're not careful, as far as us as a church, our focus on missions can be tainted, if I can say it that way. In other words, what the Bible definition of a missionary and what's being proposed as missionary today, sometimes it's not the same. And church, I think that the church, because we're autonomous, we can help anybody and everybody, okay? But I really, as our church, the Lord allows our mission missionary faith promise to grow, allows us to do more. I want to make sure we keep our focus of what we're doing as far as missionaries, all right? And I believe in Bible mission. Every year I get, I don't know, probably, Joy would know better, probably two or three girls that call, maybe at least a couple ladies that call and say, hey, listen, I want to be a missionary. I'm going to the foreign field. And I always take those calls. I don't just pass it off to Miss Joy to tell them, no, we don't support female missionaries. We support men to go out on the mission field. But I talk to every one of them, and I tell them, hey, listen, I'm thankful for your desire to serve the Lord, and I want you to keep doing what you're doing. And our church's policy is we don't support lady missionaries. And, of course, they understand that. But, church, I want to tell you something. Some people that look at me like, where'd that come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. Okay? Missionaries were men. Okay, and a missionary is a church planter, a husband of one wife. And so what's happened is our missionary endeavors has grown to cover a lot of different things. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong, because what makes us autonomous as a local church is we get to decide who we're going to support. All right. And I'll give you, for instance, we have in the past supported Cedar River Baptist Camp years and years ago. We support evangelists. We have support to different things like that. And by the way, our church constitution says that we can have radio stations and camps and schools and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to what a true missionary is, I think we've got to go back to the Bible pattern of what a true missionary is. And our first Bible, now, a person would say, well, Jesus Christ was the first missionary. And that is true, okay? Jesus came from heaven, came to here, but none of us will be Jesus until we have our glorified body. So we're talking about human beings that God used to propose or to do what the mission is. What's the mission? Get the gospel to every creature, all right? So look what he says here. God called specifically Barnabas and Saul. Verse number 2 again, it says, And as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted. When fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. So God called these fellas. Alrighty? Barnabas and I were talking on the phone this afternoon, and he just got back from seeing David Smith, and what a joy is to see them over there. And David Deal. But Barnabas made the statement is that David is in his element. Now I want to tell you, David, he worked here for of course, he was 16 years old, 7 or 8 years now, worked in the print shop, married here, etc. But David, you would think, listening to David, that maybe, boy, I don't know if David could ever pastor a church. But, you know, God had prepared him to pastor a church. And on top of that, to prepare him to pastor a church in Panama with Spanish-speaking people. And Barnabas, when he's listening to him preach, said, man, he didn't understand Spanish, but who knows what he was saying. But he said, even though I couldn't understand the language, you could really tell that God was using David. David was in his element. Now, church family, I want to tell you how that happens, because of a calling. When God calls a person, he equips a person to do the work that he has called them to do. All right. Now, young people tonight, I don't know if God's call. You don't know if God's call, per se, as far as missionary work. But God might call you one day. And when he does that, no matter what your family thinks, your church thinks, or anybody else thinks, when God calls you, he equips you. He gives you the ability to do what he's called you to do. Now, in this situation, we're talking about missionaries here. And I want you to notice what missionaries do. And I'm going to quickly run through these, I think, as quickly as possible tonight. Verse number 3, look at it. He says, now remember now, they're called missionaries. They're going to go, this is the first, Paul's first missionary journey. Verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, read that last phrase, verse number 3 with me. Together, they what? All right, the they being the church, they sent them away. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, church family, what was their home church? What church did they come out of? Came out of the church of Antioch. And then you're going to find they went to Seleucia, and then from Seleucia, I think it said Salamis. Church, I want to tell you something. Missionaries go to the field. Now, I want to tell you something. We've had missionaries that have come through here before, and they are staying in the United States, and they're flying over to the country that they've been called to two or three times a year for 2 to 4 weeks or 6 weeks at the most at a time, and they're coming back. And they're telling us that that's how missionary work is done. Church, I mean, that is not how missionary work is done. You go to the field. All righty? If you're a God-called missionary, then go there. Alrighty. Now, I'm not against. Remember now, we can support camps, we can support schools, we could support lady missionaries if we wanted to do that. The church is autonomous. We can do whatever we want. I'm not against those fellas as far as what they're doing, but the Bible example of a missionary was God called Barnabas and Saul and they went. Alright, does that make sense? So a missionary, what do? They go to the field. Look at the next thing, verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. You're going to notice, I'm going to try to hustle here if you don't mind, but verses 5, 6, and 7, I want you to notice in verse 5 it says they preached the word. Verse 6 and 7 do the same thing. I want you to tell you, second of all, what do missionaries do is they preach the word of God. Now, Church, I have to be very careful because the Bible says that as we judge others, we will be judged. As we condemn others, we will be condemned. And so as a Christian and as your pastor and you also, we need to be careful. So when a missionary comes through, I have to be careful that I'm not judgmental about their delivery of the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. If they can't preach the Word of God, I really have doubts that they're called to be a missionary. All right. And I'm not talking about somebody who's monotone. I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't move. I'm talking about if you're listening to the missionary preach and you can't figure out where they're going and you don't even know what they're saying and they're here and then they're over here. And it's like, you know, OK, where are they at? Where they're going? Listen, they ought to be able to preach the word of God, not necessarily the fluctuation of their voice or the illustrations that they use. But are they giving the word of God? All right. So that's very key. If you're going to be a missionary, you need to do that. All right. Look at the next thing. Verse number 8 and 9. Again, this is Acts 13 and 14. Obviously, the first missionary journey, Apostle Paul. There's so many things to learn here. And I don't have time to go through them all tonight. But verse number 8. It says this, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name was interpretation, withstood them. Verse 9, then Saul, who was called Paul, was filled with what? Hey, missionaries ought to be spirit-filled. Missionaries ought to be spirit-filled Christians. Now I want to tell you how you do that. You put more spiritual things than you put in fleshly things. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I will say this. We have a lot of missionaries in. It's really hard to tell if they're filled with the Spirit because you're not with them enough. Now, they can come, hey, by the way, a person can use their spiritual gift and not be spirit-filled, all right? I know that sounds crazy. A spirit-filled Christian enhances his spiritual gift, all right? So if a missionary has the gift of exhortation, or maybe he's got the gift of preaching in that sense, but yet he's not a spirit-filled Christian, we would not know that. Sometimes we get awed by the delivery of a missionary as far as, and by the way, the missionary has preached that same message countless times, all right? If you get 160 churches to support you, you're going to be in a whole lot more churches than that because not every church is going to take you on for support. And in most churches, a missionary will preach and he usually preaches that same message. So we cannot base a spirit-filled Christian based upon the delivery of the message. All right. But what I'm trying to say is that the example we have in the New Testament is Paul was spirit-filled. A missionary needs to be spirit-filled. David and Katie Joe are going to go to the mission field, and they're getting closer to that preparation time of going, and I should say getting ready to go. And there's a lot of things that have to happen. They're going to be here for a little longer. We don't have the timetable completely spelled out. They're going to be here for a little bit longer. They're going to be taking a survey trip over to Kenya. Be staying there for 3 or 4 years. I'm just joking. All right, so they're going to stay over there for a few weeks and see the field, take some pictures, and they'll come back, obviously, and still be in the ministry here a little bit longer, and he'll start making phone calls, and then he'll start deputation. And we want deputation to go fast for him, but probably take 2 years for his deputation. That's a long time, I know, but try to raise his support and get to where he needs to go. Now, church, I mean, think for just a second here. David needs to go to the field. David needs to be able to preach the Word of God. Why has David been behind the pulpit more? Because he has to know how to preach the Word. All right? He can't preach the Word here. He has no business going over to the foreign field. All right? He needs to be a spirit-filled Christian. And not only David, again, these are missionary qualifications, or I should say missionary example by Apostle Paul. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse number 12. Verse 12 says this, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, this is Paul. I'm not reading the entire passage, but I'm going through these verses with you. And I'm trying to tell you that Apostle Paul led people to Jesus Christ. Hey, how are you going to be a missionary? What is missionary work? It's telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to be a missionary somewhere else if you can't tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ here? Well, I feel like God's called me to. Okay, I want to tell you something. If you can't do God's general will, you'll never do God's specific will. And if you can't pass the track out in Lawrence, Kansas, you're not passing the track out in Kenya. Now, this message is not for David. I'm talking about any of us tonight. I want to tell you something. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you say, well, Pastor Max, I'm never going to be a missionary. Well, if you're saved, you already are a missionary. All right. If you're saved, God's already told you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right. So understand they were told, Apostle Paul being the example here, he told people about the Lord Jesus Christ, or he saw people saved. I want you to see something else here. Look at verse number 13. Again, I don't have time to hit all of them tonight. Verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. Now, read the last phrase out loud with me. Chapter 13, verse 13. Last phrase. And together, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Look at chapter 14 real quickly here. Let's see here. Let me find it real quick here. Chapter 15, I'm sorry. Look at chapter 15, verse number 36. This is Paul's second missionary journey. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them who? John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. I want you to notice this next phrase. This is how we know Paul went the right direction. Barnabas did not. Being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. In other words, the church sanctioned Paul's second missionary journey, but you never find a sanctioning by Barnabas. You know why you never hear of Barnabas again? Because Barnabas did his own thing. All right. Now, there's several reasons I don't have time to go through that tonight. But what I want you to notice next of all, I guess it would be number five here. But what do missionaries do? Missionaries have people disappoint them. Now, on the first missionary journey, I didn't follow through everything there, but at the beginning of the chapter, I think it's verse 6, 7, or 8 there, but John Mark goes with Paul and Barnabas on the missionary journey. By the way, John Mark is the nephew to Barnabas. They're related, they're family, okay? So they get in there to the work, and for whatever reason, John Mark, the Bible tells us exactly why, he went home. Now, Paul didn't like that. I want to tell you something. You know what else missionaries do? They get disappointed by people. People are going to disappoint the missionary. But guess what? You keep going. All righty? Hey, David and Ben are in their perspective fields, and to a degree, they're alone. I know they're not alone. They got their family, but to a degree, they're alone. They don't have their church family. They don't have their extended family. And so, you know what? They have God. Hey, I never told you the entire story that took place with Ben, but I want to tell you something. Ben went through the ringer when he first got over there, and there was already another missionary that was over there, and that other missionary just gave him fits. I wanted to go over and put my hands around that other missionary's throat and say, in Jesus' name, I love you, while I squeeze the breath out of you. The way he treated Ben and, of course, their family. But you know what? Ben stayed with it. You know why? Because people are going to disappoint you as a missionary. They're going to disappoint you as a missionary. And I just want you to understand that when John Mark left, there was a big disappointment there, all right? But he kept doing what he was doing. Something else I want you to see here. Look at verse number 14. Now, church family, this next thing covers a lot of verses. I'm not going to read them all. But look at verse 14 with me. Acts 13, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia. Now, this is a different Antioch, different city. And went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, to Barnabas and Paul, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now, church, you may think about it for a second here. If you're a preacher and somebody came up to you and said, hey, if you got something you want to say about the word of God, go right ahead. What do you think Paul's going to do? All right. So Paul takes this opportunity. And so from verse number 16 down to verse number 43, Paul's preaching. Now, I want you to notice that tonight, I don't have time to read all of it, but look at verse 16. Then Paul stood up, beckoned with his hand, and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of where? What's the last word in verse number 18? All right, so he went from Egypt to the children of Israel being in the wilderness. Verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of where? So he went to Canaan. Verse 20, and after that, he gave unto them what? Went to the book of Judges. Judges about the space of 450 years until who? Went to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And after they desired a king, and God gave unto them who? So we get the kings, 1 and 2 Kings. Samuel and the kings. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them who? All right, so we get the story of David. That goes all the way through 1 and 2 Chronicles. even a little bit in 2 Chronicles, and of this man, verse 23, and of this man's seed, that's talking about Jesus, and of, I'm sorry, talking about David, and of this man's seed, David's seed, had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Who is he? Then he talks about John the Baptist in verse 24, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, verse number 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, read this last sentence with me together, ready? To you is the word of... Now, church, I don't have time to read all the way down to verse 43, but I just want to tell you this. Now, I hit bits and pieces. Paul knew the word of God. He starts off with the children of Israel in Egypt. He follows them through the wilderness, takes them into the land of Canaan, and he follows it all the way through the judges and through Samuel till he gets to David. He says, now David had a seed and it was Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus going to get you saved. Hey, can I tell you something? If you're going to be a missionary, you've got to know the word of God. Amen. You young people in here, it's more than just taking your daily devotional and reading your three chapters a day. It's knowing the word of God. How does it fit together? What's the Pentateuch? What was the law for? What is the minor prophets and the major prophets? And when were they speaking? What was God using them for? It's understanding the Word of God on how this puzzle fits together. What is God's will for my life? I want to tell you what God's will for your life is, a study to show yourself approved, because the more you study, the more God can use you. Amen. So these, as a missionary, what are they? They knew the Word of God. Hey, I want to tell you something. A lot of, even missionaries too, but a lot of people go wayward because they have somebody who acts like they know the Word of God, talks to them, and they say, man alive, maybe you're right. Church, I mean, we cannot be moved about by every wind of doctrine. We're not children here when it comes to the Word of God. We ought to be students of the Word of God. All right, so again, a missionary knows the Word of God. Again, hustling through this, look at verse number 50 with me. Verse number 50. You doing okay? Look at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout. Again, I'm cutting out a lot of verses here. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised what against Paul and Barnabas? Persecution. I like verse 51, but they shook off the dust. All right. Hey, can I tell you something? Missionaries get persecuted. All right. Missionaries get persecuted. I want to tell you, I feel sorry for Ben. And at times I feel sorry for David. And I know I'm not supposed to. You know why? Because God's in control of everything in their lives. I wish there was times that we could just, as a church family, I wish we could all just get on a plane. We all could just go over there and say, hey, man, keep it up. You're doing a good job. But can I tell you something? As a missionary, they're going to get persecuted. And some of that persecution is going to come from brethren. And some of that persecution is going to come from lost people. But can I tell you something? That's what missionaries do. They do what God's called them to do. And what does he say? It is given to you in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, Philippians 1:29, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Hey, as Christians, we are going to suffer for the Lord's sake. And so missionaries, sometimes we feel sorry for the missionary. Do you notice what missionaries do? They suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's persecution that's going to come with it. Well, quickly, I'm going to give you one more thing here. Look at chapter 14. I want to talk to you a little bit more, but I'm just trying to sum all this together. And again, I'm just hitting bits and pieces. Chapter 13 and 14 is Paul's first missionary journey. Chapter 13 and 14 is Paul's missionary journey. Now, I want you to look at verse number 26 with me. They're coming back from Paul's first missionary journey, Acts 14, verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they what? They rehearsed all that God had done with them. Hey, can I tell you something else missionaries do? They report to the church. Hey, listen, I don't know what God's going to do in your life, and I don't even know really the purpose of this message, but I do understand that the meaning behind what we're looking at tonight is to get an understanding. What are missionaries supposed to do? Missionaries are supposed to be accountable to the church. Hey, we're living in a day today that missionaries, they wouldn't say that they're coming out of their own, and they wouldn't say they were coming out of a parachurch. What happens, they attach themselves to a church, but they are not keeping themselves accountable to the pastor and to that local church. And what happens, we've got some missionaries doing their own thing. That's not what God intended. Hey, Ben Smith, I have access to Ben Smith's finances in the sense of knowing what he has coming in, what he's spending. I've got access to David's deal as far as his finances. You know why? Because there's accountability there. Neither one of them are playing the lottery on the side, by the way. Okay. I don't know if they even have one there in Africa. But anyway, I just want you to understand that they hold themselves accountable. David had a decision he wanted to make. He called me the other day. And he said, what do you think about this, this, and this? David frequently before he makes I consider them major decisions. Before he makes a major decision concerning the church, he'll call me and say what he, and by the way, most of the time I say, David, I think you're going the right direction. Or sometimes I'll say, hey, I'm not a Panamanian. You need to check with a Panamanian pastor over there and find out what the policies are and what you should do. Sometimes I say, you know, if the Lord leads you to do it, do it. But on occasion, I have to say, David, I wouldn't do that. You know what David's done? He has made himself accountable to his local church. Now, church, that's what missionaries are supposed to do. And I pull my hair out sometimes when I meet missionaries that are doing their own thing. And it's aggravating to me. And you know who should fix that problem? It should not be a church like ours that's supporting a missionary for $75 a month. It ought to be his home church pastor that says, hey, I don't think I would do that if I were you. All right? There's an accountability. That's why they came back to Antioch and they reported to the church exactly what the Lord had done in their life. All right, now you're saying to yourself, Pastor, what's this all about? Are you just trying to teach us information? I know. I want you to think now for just a moment here. Paul and Barnabas, missionaries. God calls them for the work that God had called them to do. And there were certain things that missionaries were supposed to do. A missionary is a representative for the Lord Jesus Christ, giving the gospel to others. But truthfully, all of us are missionaries. All of us have been commanded by Christ to give the gospel to every creature. So, in truth, as a missionary, as a Christian, as a soul winner, I'm supposed to go to the field. As a soul winner, I'm supposed to preach the word. In other words, I'm supposed to give the person the word of God. As a Christian missionary, even to the field that I'm in, Lawrence, Kansas, I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm supposed to lead people to Jesus Christ. I'm going to occasionally have people disappoint me. I'm supposed to know the word of God. There are times I'm going to get persecuted. I'm supposed to be accountable to my local church when it comes to getting the gospel to others. You know, church family, we've had people come here before for whatever reason. And, hey, listen, I'd like to have some come to our church. We'd like to have some of your tracts. We'd like to have our group grow out and represent you. Now, it's only happened maybe a couple times in the ministry since I've been here. But there were some of those groups that came through here. I didn't want them representing our church. I'm not sure the Lord wanted them representing them. Church, I mean, there's a certain amount of accountability that God has given the church. That's why we have times that we go out soul winning together. That's why we have particular ministries. I've had people come and say, hey, listen, I'm not a member of your church, but can you get me into the prison and I'll just go in with you to the prison. I just tell them, if you're not a member of the church, you can't go into the prison. You know, there's a certain amount of accountability. Hey, church, I mean, all I'm trying to say is that we're all missionaries here. And so as a missionary, we need to be spirit-filled. We need to know the word of God. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ and be accountable to our local church. All the things that the missionary, Paul and Barnabas, did, the same thing we ought to be doing as Christians. Why? Because we're supposed to get the gospel to the world. Hey, I look forward in the short amount of time of us ordaining David and Katie Joe getting a chance to go to be missionaries to Kenya, Africa. And by the way, who God calls, he equips. And God will prepare them and make them so that when they get over that, they can do a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. Insurance is not going to come about if they're not following the Bible pattern of what the Word of God says. This is what a missionary is supposed to do. And Apostle Paul, great missionary. And we say, man, well, I don't know if anybody can compare to the Apostle Paul. Church family, Apostle Paul was not an angel. He was a human being. Hey, I have been very disheartened with Apostle Paul lately. And when I get to heaven, I'm no comparison to Apostle Paul. But I'd never noticed in the Scripture that how many times God told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Agabus, the prophet, said, hey, listen, whoever owns this girdle, they're going to bind you. You shouldn't go there. In Paul's own testimony, he's arrested and he's getting beat up. And of course, Lysias, the Roman soldiers, taking him up. And Paul says, can I speak to these people? They set Paul in Paul's own testimony to the crowd. God told me not to stay here. That's what Paul said. Twice he said that in his own testimony. And then here you have Paul, and he's rotting in a prison for years. When if he'd have just listened to God, he could have been doing a great ministry. Because God said, I want you to go far, in his own testimony. He was supposed to go far to where the Gentiles were. But instead of getting there, he stayed where he was. And God used Apostle Paul in a great way. But you know, even Apostle Paul was human, because Apostle Paul didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Hey, all we need to do is this. We need to be what God wants us to be. Stop comparing ourselves to other people. And not get under pressure. And by the way, don't put yourself on a guilt trip. You're going to fall, you get back up. You're not going to do something. You're going to make some wrong decisions, and you try to change those decisions. But as a Christian, all of us are supposed to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. And our mission field is this area. And there might be one or two or more that's in here, and maybe you don't even know it yet. Your mission field is going to be away from here. And I want to tell you, God wants to use you as a missionary. How do you do that? Live a Spirit-filled life. Know the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. How are you going to do that? Carry tracts with you and tell as many people now as you possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, all of us are supposed to be missionaries. Some here, some abroad. But there's certain things missionaries are supposed to do. And Apostle Paul and Barnabas was the example of that. And that's what we need to do in our life. I want you tonight just to ask the Lord. Maybe if you're a young lady tonight, maybe tonight you say, Lord, help me to be a better testimony, a better witness for you. If you're a young man tonight, maybe you need to ask the Lord, Lord, if you want me a missionary, here I am. You say, Pastor, what about the woman missionary? I want to tell you what a woman missionary is. A woman missionary is a person who surrenders her life to the Lord, and God has her marry a man who becomes a missionary, and she follows her husband to be the helpmate God's called her to be. That's what a woman missionary is. All righty? We have changed the terminology for women missionaries because of people who are teaching now in the foreign field, in a school, or somebody who's, you know, helping in a ministry. And there's nothing wrong. As a church, we can support anybody we want. If we vote on it, we're autonomous. But church family, can I tell you something, ladies? God made you to be a helpmeet. If you want to be a missionary, ask God to help you marry a missionary man. And then you follow that man and be the helpmeet for that man. Until then, be a missionary here. Tell as many people of the Lord Jesus Christ where you're at. So a missionary, God, help us to be a witness for you and help us to tell people about you. And Lord, help us to do these things also that we talked about tonight. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?